excited about this new series as we get ready to just dive into some pretty deep waters. I mean, these are some big questions that I think so many of us ask, and we're going to spend some time really kind of just focusing in on what God wants to say. Let me just give you a little preview, because I think this is one of those I think you should invite to every service. That's just me, but I get paid for that, right? I get paid, but that's not why I want you to invite. I want you to invite because I think there's things that happen here that people really need. But here's the thing. Next week, we're going to talk about something that is one of my favorites. It's why didn't God answer my prayers? Anybody ever prayed a prayer that seemed that God didn't answer it? Or maybe didn't answer it the way you wanted it answered? I think if we were all honest in the room, we would probably all raise our hand, because we've all done that. We've all experienced those moments of praying and things don't seem to happen the way that we wanted it to happen. And so if that's you, or if that's somebody you know, you definitely want to bring them next week, because we're gonna dive into that. The third week is why do bad things happen to good people? We just constantly ask that question. And then the final week is why would God use someone like me? And that's going to be Mother's Day. And I think it's going to set itself up to be one of the most powerful Mother's Day messages we've had here, as I've just begun to kind of look at what God has to say to us and just mothers and their importance in our lives. And so that's going to be a great Sunday, a great celebration of mothers and those who have invested themselves in kids, who maybe don't have their own kids, but definitely have children in their lives and in their influence. And so we celebrate it that way around here. And so we want to invite you to definitely be part of that. And following that, we're going to do a parent-child dedication. It'll be a short service right after that. And so you're all welcome to stay for that. And if you're interested in having your child dedicated that Sunday, make sure that you see me or note that on your communication card. But that's just kind of what's coming up, because I want you to, we don't usually spend that much time on it, but I want you to know so that you can begin to invite people, because they don't always come the first time, right? So you got to keep on them. And so hopefully by the time that you can get them here, we'll be digging into some pretty deep stuff. So as we go into this, today's message is, why don't I always feel God's presence? Why don't I always feel Him around me? What is it that, you know, when I'm looking for Him, why doesn't it seem that I can find Him? Why don't it seem like I can touch Him? And if you're a Christian, you've probably always had those moments where, as a believer, that you thought it should be all Jesus all the time, where He was like right up against you, and that's not always how it is, and so you maybe have struggled with it. So here's the thing: how many of you, just being honest, how many of you at some point in your life have felt God's presence, that you could think, well, that must have been God, right? So let me ask you this a little bit deeper: how many of you already feel like you've felt Him present today, somewhere in your life, maybe not even here, but just before you got here, maybe in your quiet time? So I think all of us have experienced that, or tried to experience it, or have come to a place where we wanted to experience it. And so one of the problems that comes out of that is sometimes we look at it, and not everybody raised their hand. So is it that, so that God, does He only show His presence and let us experience His presence, some of us and not all of us? Does He like choose like 80% of us, and then the other 20, there's just not enough left over for the rest of us? No, that's not how He works. There's plenty of God to go around. But the reality is that many times there's something going on with us that prevents us from being able to just fully experience Him and just allow His presence to be something that we do get to experience. Sometimes we kind of push it off on stuff. You know, we say, well, you know, the pastor, man, he just got that funny haircut, or you know, he's just kind of his jokes just aren't funny, you know, so I couldn't experience God's presence today. Or, man, that band, you know, those rock and roll songs, I can't worship to that, you know. Or you know, that person that met me at the door, you know, they just didn't smile big enough. I can't worship today. No joke, in a church I was in one time, I had a lady who who kind of called the pastor after church, and she said, "Pastor, I couldn't worship today." And he said, "Well, what in the world? What was wrong?" You know, she said, "It was those flowers. Those flowers were in front of you, and I couldn't see all of you while you were preaching, and so it just messed up my worship." I mean, we find all kinds of ways to not experience God's presence, and so today we're going to spend some time. Why don't we always feel that? And if I was to ask each one of you that raised your hand earlier, you know, what does God's presence feel like to you? So some of you, you know, might look give me a lot of different answers. Some of you may say, you know, it's just when I just cry. It's just when I worship and when I feel God's presence, I cry. So some of you may say, you know, Ron, and when I feel God's presence, it's kind of like a warm sensation all over me. Sometimes, if I was to ask you, you would maybe say it's a tingly sensation. You know, when God's presence, I just kind of tingle all over. But here's the reality of that. Sometimes, you know, sitting beside your girlfriend in the movies kind of gives you a little tingly feeling too, doesn't it? You know, and it really tingles when your wife finds you. That's a whole nother message, though, and we'll get to that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't. I'm not promoting it, okay? But, you know, sometimes it feels like a warm sensation. Well, you know what? Peeing in the pool does too. But you know, that's not the kind of warm sensation that we're looking for. And you know, some of y'all are like, "I'm not going to admit that I ever did that." You know, the water turns blue if you do, so don't worry about that. But then some of you say, "Well, it's just like I cry. You know, God's presence makes me cry." Well, cutting onions does too, but I don't think he's always there when you do that, okay? So there's these things that we look for in the presence of God and in feeling him and experiencing him that can be explained a lot of different ways and experienced a lot of different ways. It's different for all of us, but the truth is we've got to come down to this thing that sometimes we feel it and sometimes we don't. And why is it that we don't? And here's the thing, if you're not feeling it, if you don't feel the presence of God sometimes, here's what you need to know. The first truth that we want to follow along on your program with is this. If you don't always feel God's presence, you're not alone. You don't need to feel like you're the only one who doesn't feel it sometimes, that you don't experience it sometimes. That if you're not feeling him present, if you're not feeling him working and around you, then you need to know that's not uncommon to all of us. You're not alone in that. Psalm 88, verse 13 says this, "But I cry out to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you." Verse 14 says, why? Everybody say why with me. Why? Why? Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? The psalmist was feeling the same thing. He wasn't feeling that God's presence was there, and so he was experiencing what many of us experience when we're looking for God, and we just seem to not be able to find him and not be able to feel him there with us. And so what I want to do is spend some time just looking at five biblical reasons why you may not feel God's presence. And so you may want to track along in your notes with this, but here's the first one. Maybe you're just over-sensationalizing it. I got to pick the biggest word I could find just so you guys would have to write it. And you get extra points if you write it without looking up. But you're over-sensationalizing this feeling God's presence. You're looking for something big and dramatic. Maybe you're looking for, you know, the fireworks to go off, and you're looking for, you know, you've been like, "God, you know, to experience you, I have to have this event happen. I need it to be something big and bold so that I know that it's you." And listen, he doesn't always come in the big and the bold. Sometimes he comes in the still moments of life. Jesus in the New Testament, the writing there, he was speaking to some people and they were kind of They were kind of prodding him for some answers, and they were like, what do you want from us? And Jesus said, well, I want you to believe in me, and I want you to know me, and I want you to believe. That's what he was trying to get to them. But in John 6, verse 30, it says, they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe it? What kind of trick are you going to do, Jesus, to make us believe that you're who you say you are, that you're here and that you're present among us? What are you going to do for us to be able to believe? I think so many of us are looking for the presence of God to be the big booming voice that comes in and, Ron, this is God. You know, you want to hear this voice that says, this is it. This is what I want for you. This is what I want you to do. And sometimes he's already shown you and told you what it is that he wants you to do, but we just get really good at not listening and not paying attention. We've over-sensationalized this presence of God thing to be something that has to just blow up every time, or else it must just not be him. And I just don't believe that that's true. Maybe you're not sensing him present because you're just looking for something way more than is going to come. I remember being at a church one time. It was actually at a ski event with another church. I was about 22 or 23. I was a new believer in Jesus. I had gone to a ski event with this church, and we were there, and the band was playing. They were just rocking out, and they had this great, you know, dynamic speaker, and he was preaching. And so what I didn't tell you is that this church that I went with was a little different than the church I was going to. You see, they were a very charismatic church. They were a very energetic church, and this was an energetic bunch of people. I'm talking like three Red Bulls, okay? They were hyped up, ready to go. And so this speaker was up there, and as he's praying, he said he was prodding for me to and for the crowd to begin to pray in their heavenly tongues, to begin to pray and speak to God in the language that God, the prayer language that God had given them. And I remember sitting back there on that row, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, God, this is the only language you've given me. So I'm going to talk to you with this, and I'm going to express to you. Meanwhile, everybody around me was kind of, they were speaking in tongues, and that is a true gift, and there's a lot that goes with that, so I'm not knocking speaking in tongues. But it was just a new event for me. I'd never been around anything like that. And so I remember just standing there thinking, well, if I don't have that, I must not be experiencing God. But God, though, was moving in my life, and I could just, I knew he was there, and he was clearly speaking, but I wasn't speaking like everybody else. You see, sometimes we think that because we don't have what everybody else has and we're not experiencing what everybody else is experiencing, we must not be experiencing the presence of God, and that is just far from the truth. Don't look for the over-sensationalizing of it. Just look for the movement of him in you that he will clearly speak to you and communicate with you. The second thing is this. Maybe you're not feeling God's presence because you've become simply distracted. You've let something get in the way, and you're just not being able to experience him. Luke verse 10, chapter 10, verse 38, so there was this really interesting scripture that I think just totally illustrates this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now, I try to tell my wife that when company's coming over, that when she's running around cleaning up and I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, I'm trying to tell her I don't want to be distracted from what God's saying, but that doesn't always work, all right, because that's not the truth. But anyway, sometimes we get so distracted with all the things that are going on that we totally miss out on what God's doing right where we are. The reality for so many Christians today is that we get distracted doing the work of God. We get distracted doing church rather than being the church. We get so busy thinking that if I can just show up for an hour on Sunday and just spend time here, but then not worry about it the rest of the time, that we've been okay. But the truth is we get out of here and get so distracted by life that we miss out on what God really wants for us. And so we're not finding ourselves at a place where he can move in our lives, because we're just not even aware that he's even there, because we're distracted by stuff. And listen, it doesn't have to be the church that gets us distracted. Man, somebody just checked in. Gosh, can y'all believe that somebody checked in here at URA Community Church? Man, I got 6 likes on my post today. You know, God, I got 6 emails. Wow. Did they really mean to post that? Wow. Well, we get kind of distracted, don't we? You know, come on. Somebody's like sitting and sliding down in their seat, because, listen, there's so many things that can distract us that we totally just miss out on what God's doing. And so if you're not feeling God's presence, maybe you're just simply distracted. The third thing is this: maybe your heart has hardened. Your heart is hardened to what God wants to do in your life. I know a lot of people that were once tender and really aware of what God was trying to do, but they seem to kind of drift away, and then they find themselves, you know, looking for God, but he's not moved anywhere. It was them that has become so hardened to what he is trying to do in their lives. And so in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus has just taught the parable of the sower, and he went on, he quoted an Old Testament prophet, Isaiah, and he said this in Matthew 13, verse 14. He says, "You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but not perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." Does that sound like anybody you may know? I think we've maybe all experienced that, if we're honest in the room. We've let ourselves become hardened sometimes to what God really wants to do. And there's lots of reasons that we have for it, lots of reasons that we would give for it. But see, there's this problem, and God hears you, but there's just something there that you've allowed to harden you up. And so when you've had this bad experience, you've said, "Well, listen, I tried the God thing and it didn't work out, and so I'm moving on. I'm gonna, he didn't answer the prayer, so now I'm gonna go and just do it myself." And we become hardened to what he really wanted to do in our lives, and we just say, "You know what, I'm gonna do it anyway." Now, if you've ever spent time around me, you know I'm a little bit stubborn. Okay? A little bit, right? So sometimes I allow myself to be really stubborn and hardened to what God wants to do, because I'm like, I just go. I want to go. And sometimes he's saying go, but he's saying just, but don't go so fast. And I don't like that, you know. And I become hardened, and I want to push through and become kind of callous to what he's saying. So my ears hear, but they don't understand, and my eyes see, and they don't perceive, because I get so focused in, and I just want to do it my way, and I get hard to what God's really trying to do and what he's trying to teach me along the way. Now, I don't know about you, but that's me, you know. I think that some of you in the room, though, could really identify with that, because you've been through those moments. We do that. We become hardened to what God has really, what he really wants to do. We've been hurt by people, we've been hurt by the church and different things, and we just become hardened to that. There's another reason that we sometimes don't feel his presence, and it's this: that we have built a wall of sin. Maybe you're not feeling his presence because you've built up this wall between you and him that doesn't allow you to really experience him, and it hinders the intimacy that you want and that he wants with you. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, "Listen, Now, when somebody says, listen, what should you do? Listen. The Lord is not too weak to save you, and he is not becoming deaf. He can hear you when you call, but there is a problem. Your sins have cut you off from God. Now, that's a pretty, you know, and kind of in our society, we don't like to hear it so boldly proclaimed. We don't like to hear it so harsh like that, but that's the reality of it, that he hears us and there's a problem. He knows what's going on and he knows that we're crying out for help, but the problem is that we don't want to do anything on our side to allow that intimacy to be flowing freely. We continue to do things that build up the wall between us and him. Now, let me be really careful here. If you're a believer in Christ, if you've made a decision to accept the saving knowledge of who Jesus is, that he was God's son, he came to earth, he died on a cross to pay the price for your sins, that he was taken off the cross, put in the tomb, buried there, on the third day he was raised from the dead. If you have trusted that and believed that he did that for you, that he died to pay the penalty for your sin, and that he's been raised, so now you don't have to experience, or you don't just experience forgiveness here, but for all eternity. Now, if you've truly made that decision, you need to understand, even as you sin, that doesn't go away, but there does begin to be a wall that can be built between you and him, that he just doesn't, and is not able to experience the intimacy with you that he wants to experience. We continue to build that up. And so we've got to be willing to look and see, is there something in my life that continues to build this wall that keeps me from being intimate with God? See, let me explain it this way. My wife, Kelly, you met her. She sang up here today and did a lovely job, I think. You know, so, yep. So I got to give her a little props, you know, because I got to go home with her. So, no, she did. She did awesome. But if I lie to Kelly, am I still married to her? Yeah, right? I mean, we would agree that I would still be married to her. But what happens to our relationship? I just put a brick down, didn't I? And if I keep lying to Kelly, I keep putting bricks up. And if I'm ugly to Kelly, I put another brick up. And if I call Kelly a bad name, I'm putting another brick up. And so I continue to do this. So what happens is there's a problem, there's something between she and I that keeps us from being intimate the way that God designed marriage to be, and our relationship to be, right? It's the same with us and God, that he wants this intimacy with us. In fact, that's why he sent Jesus to die for our sins, so that we could have that intimate relationship. So it's not that we stop being, you know, a child of his, it's just that now we've allowed things to build up in the way, and it's time to allow those to be broken down so that now we can experience that. So if you're not feeling his presence, maybe there's sin that has built up in front of you, between you and God, that's keeping you from experiencing him and his presence. Maybe it's time to take an honest look at your life and see, what is it that's keeping you from experiencing all that he has for you? And then there's the final one. And if you're not feeling God's presence, here's maybe why. Maybe you just don't know him. Maybe you don't know him. Maybe there isn't a relationship between you and him. Maybe there's just not been a time where you really came and acknowledged what Jesus did for you on the cross, that you didn't acknowledge the relationship that he wanted to begin with you, and that you've just never started it. You've never accepted that truth of Jesus' sacrifice, and that's kept you from just having this intimacy with him. John 7, verse 28 says, this is Jesus, he says, you do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me. See, if you've never begun that relationship, then you're not going to feel that presence. There's always going to be that missing piece in your life that keeps you from being all that he wants you to be, and that relationship being all that he wants it to be. The reality is, it's just not there. Here's what happens, though. We've talked a lot in this about feeling, right? And I don't like the words feeling and thinking, because sometimes those get us in real trouble. Sometimes we want to feel stuff that maybe we're just not supposed to always feel. We want to think stuff that maybe we're just not always supposed to think. Maybe that just because you don't feel God's presence doesn't mean that God's not present. We look for the things to be happening, and just because we're not feeling these tingly, warm, crying feelings, that we just assume that he's just not there, and that's not the case. I don't know about you, but I can look around my life and I can see where he's kind of always present. He's always at work. I may not feel it, but he's certainly there moving and doing things. And so here's the thing. We've got to understand that sometimes the presence of God is something we just have to have faith in. If he promises that he'll be there, then we need to know he'll be there. We've got to have faith. Faith is what the scripture says pleases God. And sometimes we've got to have faith to just trust it and believe it. Even when things look like they're falling down around us, we've got to be able to just trust him that he said he would never leave us or forsake us. And so we just got to go. We got to trust that. That's this piece of faith that is so hard and it's sometimes what gets in the way of people really coming into this relationship with God and staying there, because they give up. But I'm telling you, if you always try to rely on your feelings, you're going to miss out on a lot of things in life. There are times, and it's not a knock on her, there's times where I don't feel like my wife loves me. You know, she's not cooking for me and cleaning for me. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But there's just, you know, she's got stuff going on. I got stuff going on. We're running and crazy. And so and I know that she doesn't feel like I love her sometimes. I mean, if you're married in this room and you feel like that, man, I write a book. If you got that figured out, how you feel like you love each other all the time, write a book, because it would sell, I promise. Because it's just there. We experience that. So sometimes we've got to be able to trust that. And walking with God is never about our feelings. It's not about what we do feel or don't feel, but it's always about our faith. It's always about trusting who God is and being able to just say, you know what, God, maybe I don't feel you right now, but I know you're here, and I'm gonna keep following you. Even though I don't feel you, I know you've promised to be here, and I'm with you all the way. Sometimes you just got to be willing to go with what you know, not what you feel and not what you think. And so let me give you quickly just some promises that come from the scriptures that help us understand this presence of God and how we can be able to just know it's there. And so here we go. Number one, you will find God when you seek God. You will find God when you seek God. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says it very clearly. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. He declared it. That means it's there. It's a promise that he's made, that if you'll seek him, you will find him, that he will not be far away. In fact, he'll be there. You'll just begin to know it. That's how I look at it. He's there. It just becomes into a place where it becomes something that we know and not something we rely on feeling all the time. He delights in revealing himself to us. God wants you and I to experience that relationship with him. Again, it's why he sent his son, why he would allow him to be sacrificed and to go through all that he went through. It was to build that relationship between you and him and me and him. He delights in that relationship, and so he is there for you and I to seek him out. How do you seek him out? Listen, there's a lot of ways that you seek him out. You know, the best way is to talk to him. You have a relationship with him. And if you're going to have a relationship with somebody, that means you communicate with them. You're going to talk. You're going to get to know each other. You're going to talk and you're going to listen. You're going to know his voice because you begin to hear his voice. We spend time with him. We get to know him. We get to seek him out by opening up our Bibles. Man, I know that seems like it's not a very popular thing, but But the reality is that's what he's written to you and me so that we can know exactly how to seek him and know exactly how to know him. He's written the Bible for you and me to be able to have it. It's a tool that he gave us. And now, you know, I was at a wedding yesterday and the photographer said, "Hey, Pastor, do you have your Bible?" And I'm like, "Yeah. Yeah, can you take a picture with this?" You know, I wanted to hold it like, you know, because he wanted to take a picture with me and my Bible. So I was kind of like, well, there it is. I mean, it's at our fingertips at all times now. There's some, if you have YouVersion or BibleGateway.com, there's just a ton of Bible apps that you can go to now just carry it anywhere where you can read it anytime you want. The hope and the things that you've been looking for, they're in those words. And as we seek him out and as we look for him, it's right there before us. So I would just encourage you, find a Bible reading plan. You know, maybe you don't have to try to do it all in 1 year. That's a good way to do it, though, if you want to read through the Bible. It's there, and how to do it in a year. There's so many different ways to be able to experience him and his word. So now we can seek him out. Maybe it's just that you turn on some really cool worship music and just go. Last night, I was in here. We hosted an event Friday night for the Fishers of Men for their national tournament. They're fishing on Tillery, and so we had a dinner here for them, and so the chairs were kind of messed up. So last night after I did the wedding, I came by here, and I put on some praise and worship music back there, some Jesus culture, and I turned it up loud. I know the neighbors could hear me, but I was just in here jamming while I was putting the chairs back together and just, you know, just as I'm praying over them as I went through. It was just a great moment. And there's nothing special about me or that music. It's just me seeking a way to just experience his presence. And it was very clear that he was right here with me. And so maybe that's for you. Maybe you just need to turn on some good music on the way to work and just experience him before you get to work. And maybe work would be a lot better. Maybe you wouldn't want to choke your boss quite as much. You know, maybe it would be after lunch before you want to do it instead of before. You know, who knows? But there's so many ways that we can seek out his presence. The second promise is this, that you can do life with God's presence. You can do it. You can spend your life without being some, you know, Bible thumping, crazy, you know, whatever that people don't want to be around. You can do life with God's presence. In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus is here. He says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you." What does never mean? Never, right? That he will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. What's the Greek word for all? It's all, okay? That's just take my word for it. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you do because he lives with you now and later will be in you. That he is here in you as you accept him. He moves in and takes residence in you. He is there, and he is there so that you can know that his presence is with you even when you don't feel it. You can know that he is there. He can do that, and he wants to do that in your life. You can do everything that you do with God around you, moving in you, without feeling like you're some, you know, crazy, you know, fanatic about something. It's about just experiencing him and having this relationship with him. The third thing is this, that you can experience God right now. That you can experience his presence right now, right where you are. And now is now. Now is when you leave here. Now is when you get home. Now is whenever. You can experience it now. I love in Acts in chapter 17 when we see the writings here of Paul, and he wrote that God made the world and everything in it. That was verse 1. So he sets it up that God made everything, made the world and everything in it. So there's this bold, big statement, this truth that we see there. And then as he goes down through there, he comes to a place where he tells us why. Why did God make the world and everything that we see in it? Verse 27, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Listen, God is waiting for you to experience a relationship with him and to experience his presence right now. You don't have to have some, you know, we don't have to have some big, you know, crazy worship experience. We don't have to have this, you know, loud music for hours to be able to do it. We don't have to, you know, jump through hoops. We don't have to do anything else. We don't have to pay certain amounts to be able to do it. We don't have to do any of that stuff. But we can just experience him right where we are. That he made everything that we see, every one of us, to be able to have that relationship with him. So here's the thing. Maybe you've been saying, you know what, I just don't feel God's presence. And you've been trying to rely on what you feel, and what you think, and all of that. But today, we can clearly see from the scriptures that it's not about what we feel, but it's about what we know. That we know that he's with us. That he's promised to be there, to have a relationship. Some of you are going through some extremely difficult things through losing people that you love. You're going through some financial hardships. You're going through some marriage problems. You're going through so many other things. There's difficulties at school. You know, you're trying to get through. We're almost to June, y'all. Hang on. You know, we're almost there. And you've been wondering, like, where is God in all of this? And the truth is that he's been right there the whole time. He's been right there to walk you through it. He's been right there to hold you up through it. He's been right there for you to be able to just know that he loves you and that he cares what you're going through. And so maybe today you're the one that hasn't been feeling it. So here's where I want to challenge you. Let today be the day that you know it. Let today be the day that you know that God is there for you, that he cares about you, and that if you don't have a relationship with him, he wants that relationship. And if you do have the relationship, he wants that relationship to be stronger and better. And so what's that mean for us? That means, one, we've got to make some decisions. One, if you don't know him, you got to make a decision to accept him and allow him to come into your life. Two, if you feel like you don't have that relationship or you've been missing out on something of it, but yet you've made a decision to accept him in the past, then now you just got to begin to do the things that he said, where we communicate with him, we talk to him, we read his word, and we have this relationship with him. We do things that we would do for any other relationship to make it grow. We invest in it. We spend time in it. We put energy into it. And then, man, we see God do just awesome stuff as he begins to bless us and he begins to teach us and to walk us through how to get through the things we're experiencing now. Today, you can experience God's presence right now. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the opportunity to just hang out in your word and understand that, God, that you have made promises to us to have an incredible relationship with you, God, that it's not about, we don't have to rely on how we feel, we don't have to rely on just what we think, God, but that we can know that you are right there with us, that you have promised to be there, and that you have promised to take us through whatever. You never promised it would be easy. In fact, you said it wouldn't be. That there would be difficulties that we would have to go through, that things aren't always going to be smooth, but God, you always promised to be the calm in the storm. You always promised to be the one that never walks away from us. And so God, today, I pray that we will be able to trust you in that, to have the faith that it requires to please you in it, God, to just have the faith enough to just hold on and know that you are right there. God, for those in the room that don't have that relationship with you, I pray that this would be the moment that they decide to begin that relationship, to know that Jesus came, he died on the cross for them, that he paid the price for their sins, and that he was taken off of that cross, he was buried, and with your love and power, you raised him from the dead so that we can be forgiven now and be forgiven for all eternity in that relationship with you. God, for those that need to accept it, may this be the time for those that need to make decisions to allow sin to be dealt with in their life, or to have, you know, this just the relationship to be grown and nurtured and just invested in. God, I pray that this would be the moment that they choose to acknowledge it and do it. God, whatever you need to do in our lives, as the music plays, God, as we just spend some time worshiping you, God, knowing that you're here. God, do whatever you need to do in our lives. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with me, church.